The headlines. A senior member of the Taliban has said that the group seeks good relations with Afghanistan's neighboring countries, including Iran, under an Islamic emirate. The row over Turkey's decision to reopen an abandoned Cypriot resort town deepens as Cyprus joins other European countries to condemn the move. And American officials say that overall life expectancy in the U.S. fell by a year and a half in 2020, the largest since World War II, amid the coronavirus pandemic. Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Muse. Thanks for joining us. A senior member of the Taliban has said that the group seeks good relations with Afghanistan's neighboring countries, including Iran, under an Islamic emirate. Khekhwa said the Taliban is strengthening ties with Iran, quote, day by day to solve problems, since this approach serves the interests of both nations. He noted that the Taliban and neighbors of Afghanistan need each other in every way. He said, therefore, regional governments should join hands and cooperate with each other. Pointing to Taliban's deal reached with the U.S. last year, Khekhwa reiterated that all foreign troops must leave the country. Khekhwa said that there was no secret agreement with the U.S. about the pullout of foreign soldiers. He said the U.S.-led forces failed to establish security in the country 20 years after the invasion of the country. The deal was made during the term of former U.S. President Donald Trump. Foreign forces have now largely left Afghanistan, and the remaining ones will go home by September 11. The Taliban have launched a nationwide offensive and have taken control of many regions. The full interview with Khekhwa will be broadcast over the next few days. Tehran has unveiled a documentary film called Life Among War Flags, which narrates different aspects of conflicts between armed groups, including Taliban militants. As Saman Khujuri reports, the film has revealed a big secret called Taliban, and clearly responds to questions which have for long been formed in the minds of international audience regarding the militant group.
Iranian documentary film Life Among War Flags, which focuses on Afghanistan and the Taliban, directed by Mohsen Islamzadeh, has been unveiled in Tehran in the presence of the filmmakers. The documentary movie Life Among War Flags narrates a different story of conflicts between armed groups in Afghanistan. Moreover, it has made research on the role of the Afghan government in such conflicts.
I have been making documentaries for about 17 years now. The Life Among War Flags depicts the story of people whose region is controlled sometimes by the Taliban, sometimes by Daesh, and sometimes by a central Afghan government and the U.S. forces. I believe they are the main victims of the war in Afghanistan. Making this documentary film was very difficult because we had to risk our lives when we went among Taliban forces. We even took part in several Taliban operations to make this documentary film.
One of the special features about this documentary is that they have shown the inner side of the Taliban, which is very dangerous and difficult. Making such a documentary will definitely raise public awareness about the real nature of such groups, which is of course so risky for the filmmakers.
The production of this documentary took 19 months to complete. The documentary's director says it has unveiled a big secret called Taliban and clearly has responded to questions which have for long been formed in the minds of international audiences regarding the nature of the militant group.
The documentary film Life Among War Flags takes a deeper look at the lives of Afghan people who have tolerated years of war and bloodshed under different names and have learned to show flexibility to survive. Saman Khujuri, Tehran.
A prominent media advocacy group has urged Israel to halt exports of its surveillance technology following revelations that Pegasus spyware was used to target journalists. Reporters Without Borders says that Tel Aviv must stop selling espionage technology until a protective regulatory framework is reached. It added that enabling governments to install spyware to monitor journalists amounts to a major democratic problem. A consortium of 17 media outlets revealed that Israeli company NSO sold its Pegasus spyware to dozens of countries. Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates are some of those receiving the spyware despite being accused of human rights violations. The spyware was reportedly used to target journalists and activists, as well as prominent heads of state, including the presidents of France and Iraq, and the King of Morocco. Cyprus has criticized Turkey's decision to reopen the abandoned Cypriot resort town of Varosha, saying that it is, quote, clear violation of UN Security Council resolutions. Foreign Minister of Cyprus, Nikos Christodoulidis, says that the move will have a negative impact on efforts to resume talks between Nicosia and Ankara. On Tuesday, Turkish Cypriot authorities said that a part of Varosha would come under civilian control for potential resettlement. The announcement followed a visit by the Turkish president to Varosha, which is also known as the Ghost Town. The French Foreign Ministry has promised to raise the issue at the UN, calling it a provocation. The EU has also condemned Ankara's move as a breach of international law, criticism that Turkey has dismissed. Varosha has been a sticking point between Greek Cypriot and the self-declared Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. Our Brussels correspondent Jerome Hughes says Turkey's move to partially reopen the controversial town of Varosha will only heighten tensions between the EU and Turkey.
There's been tensions here since 1974 because, of course, you know, Cyprus has been divided since then. Turkey went into the northern part of the country to try and push back against a Greek-backed coup, and it says it did so legitimately under international agreements. It was just protecting its interests. But the UN Security Council describes northern Cyprus, or the northern part of Cyprus, as an occupied area, even though, you know, Cyprus, the southern part, is controlled by the Republic of Cyprus, which has been a member of the European Union since 2004. Turkey's President Erdogan has been talking about a two-state solution to all of this, but last week, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, she completely rejected that and said that is an unacceptable solution. But Erdogan insists it could be the way forward.
A senior EU official has rejected a UK demand to renegotiate post-Brexit trading arrangements for Northern Ireland. The official said the European Commission will not renegotiate the so-called Northern Ireland Protocol, which requires checks on goods crossing over from mainland Britain. However, the official said that the EU will seek creative solutions to difficulties caused by Brexit and the trade between Britain and Northern Ireland. That after Northern Ireland Secretary Brandon Lewis told the British Parliament that the country cannot go on the clause included in the Brexit deal. He said the application of the protocol had entailed considerable and continuing burdens. The protocol was painstakingly negotiated to avoid a hard border with Ireland by effectively keeping Northern Ireland in the EU's single market. American public health officials say that overall life expectancy in the U.S. fell by a year and a half in the year 2020, the largest annual decline since World War II. The officials have blamed the drop mainly on the COVID-19 pandemic. They say the life expectancy for both Black and Hispanic Americans was even worse, witnessing a decrease of 3 years. Experts have pointed to a range of problems affecting the two communities. These include lack of access to quality health care, more crowded living conditions, and a greater share of the population in low-paying jobs that required them to keep working at the peak of the pandemic. U.S. provocations against China continue relentlessly. In the latest, Washington has accused Beijing of hacking the Microsoft Exchange email system. The U.S. is making the accusation as it has ramped up its hacking and cyber allegations against Russia. But the question is whether the U.S. is making such accusations with a political motive while making China appear like the bad guy on the world stage.
Tensions between the United States and China are rising once again. China has roundedly rejected the groundless and irresponsible hacking allegations made by the United States and its allies. Beijing says the allegations are fabricated out of nothing. The Chinese Foreign Ministry has hit back at Washington, calling the US the world champion of cyber attacks. Washington and several allies in Europe and Asia publicly accused Beijing of hacking the Microsoft Exchange server software in March.
Well, I would give the benefit of the doubt to China, given the fact that the United States is on a roll to build up all kinds of accusations against China, really to create an enemy image and to increase pressure on China with regard to many different political and economic issues.
Microsoft Exchange is an email platform used by corporations around the world. Senior U.S. officials claimed that hackers tied to China's Ministry of State Security carried out the hacking. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said that Washington and its allies hold China accountable for what they have described as Beijing's pattern of irresponsible and destabilizing behavior in cyberspace. They claim China's alleged hacking poses a major threat to the U.S. economy and national security. The United Kingdom and European Union have also joined the U.S. in accusing China of carrying out hacking attacks. They claim the alleged cyber attacks have targeted an estimated hundreds of thousands of mostly small businesses and organizations. The U.S. Justice Department says four Chinese nationals have been charged in a global hacking campaign aimed at dozens of companies, universities, and government agencies in the United States and abroad.
The problem is that the underlying dynamic here is increasing tensions between the U.S. and China, not because of China's actions, but because of U.S. actions, which often provoke a reaction. A reaction may be increased cyber attacks, but that the basic problem is that the United States is regarding China as a rival, possibly as an enemy, and that's creating a lot of conflict.
The accusation leveled against China by the U.S. is that Chinese hackers stole trade secrets and technology. The U.S. also alleges that China is sponsoring hackers outside of the Chinese government. Meanwhile, the U.S. itself stands accused of conducting the most hacking operations out of any country in the world. China has said that the CIA has hacked the country's aerospace research facilities, China's oil industry, internet companies, and government agencies over a span of 11 years.
China and the U.S. are already at loggerheads over several issues. Last year, Washington took a harsh stance against Chinese tech giant Huawei, effectively banning the company from the U.S. Huawei is currently the world's largest telecoms equipment provider. Over the past few years, Washington stepped up arms sales to Taiwan, which is considered a red line by Beijing. Back in April, China warned the U.S. not to play with fire over Taiwan, as Washington moved to establish more diplomatic contact with officials in the self-ruled island. Tensions in the South China Sea risk turning into a full-blown confrontation between the two superpowers. The U.S. has already deployed 24 F-22 fighters to the Western Pacific as part of a military exercise in the Pacific Ocean. The deployment has been interpreted as a warning signal to China at a time when relations between Washington and Beijing have reached rock bottom over Taiwan and the disputed South China Sea. The exercise is in support of the 2018 National Defense Strategy, which called on the U.S. military to be a more lethal, adaptive, and resilient force to counter long-term strategic competition, primarily from China and Russia.
Well, they are going after both China and Russia. They consider them the autocratic countries in the world. They want this association of so-called democracy, that is the Western world, controlling the rules of the road. And China and Russia have other views as to how the world should operate.
The South China Sea has also emerged as a flashpoint. The United States frequently sends warships to challenge China's claims over the disputed waters under the pretext of safeguarding the freedom of navigation. China is also on course to overtake the U.S. and become the biggest economic powerhouse in the world within the next decade.
The World Health Organization says the Delta variant of COVID-19 is expected to become the dominant strain within months. During a weekly epidemiological update, the UN Health Agency also said that the variant has now been recorded in 124 territories and accounts for more than three-quarters of sequenced specimens in major countries. The WHO also predicted that the cumulative number of COVID cases reported globally could exceed 200 million in the next 3 weeks. The Delta strain, which first emerged in India, is more transmissible than British, African, and Brazilian variants. Coronavirus pandemic has so far infected more than 192 million people and killed over 4 million worldwide. The German health minister has warned that the number of COVID infections might rise exponentially in September if they grow at their current pace. Jens Spahn says the number of infections per 100,000 people over the 7 days could reach more than 400 in September. The current number of infections per 100,000 people is only 11. The country has seen a spike in daily cases since early July due to the spread of the more infectious Delta variant after more than 2 months of steady decline. The German government has extended COVID-19 quarantine regulations for incoming travelers from higher-risk areas until mid-September. Meanwhile, the French premier says that Delta has turned into a dominant variant in circulating coronavirus in the country.
Ce fameux variant Delta.
This famous Delta variant is there. It is definitely there. It is in the majority, and this is its characteristic. This is different with those that preceded it. This is much more contagious. New infections have increased by 140% in 1 week, and there were 18,000 new cases yesterday. That characterizes the situation.
Jean Castex said tougher measures are essential and new lockdowns cannot be ruled out to stem the fourth wave of infections. This as the country is set to unveil a new plan to fight COVID, with legislation being debated in Parliament. The plan will include requiring a health pass in a wide array of venues from the start of August and making vaccination mandatory for health workers. Under the plan, those wanting to go to events or places with more than 50 people have to prove that they have had a COVID vaccination or tested negative recently. The pandemic delayed Tokyo 2020 Olympics kickoff in Japan amid concerns about a rising number of infections in the city. The world's largest sporting event got underway with a softball game in Fukushima behind closed doors. The Tokyo Olympics, which will formally begin with Friday's opening ceremony, will be held largely without spectators to minimize the health risks. The Japanese capital is already under a state of emergency following a surge in coronavirus cases, 79 of those among people credited for the games. The World Health Organization chief backed the event. However, he said the world is failing to stop the pandemic and criticized G20 economies for their poor efforts in this regard. The WHO chief said out of more than 3.5 billion globally administered vaccine doses, 75% have been in just 10 countries. He said in low-income countries, only 1% of people have received at least one dose, compared with more than half of the people in high-income countries. The coronavirus pandemic has so far killed more than 4 million people around the world. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
Trainings for the Colombian mercenaries accused of killing Haitian President Moa were conducted in both the U.S. and Colombia, some as recently as 2015, says Ryan Dovaro, writer, in an article titled, At Least Seven Colombians in Haiti Assassination Received U.S. Training. Stay tuned for more. More than a quarter of the ex-Colombian soldiers currently suspected in the assassination of Haitian President Moa received U.S. military training. The Intercept confirmed recently, with some of the alleged attackers participating in programs as recently as 2015 that ranged from vehicle maintenance and professional development to counterterrorism and drug war operations. Courses were held in both Colombia and the United States. The Pentagon and the State Department are currently reviewing internal records to determine precisely how many of the alleged assassins were trained by the U.S. To date, State and DOD have identified 7 individuals among a possible 25 alleged to have been involved by Haitian authorities that previously participated in past U.S. military training and education programs while previously serving in Colombian military. A U.S. government official confirmed in an email to The Intercept. Individuals have been approved for a variety of training activities held both in Colombia and the United States between 2001 to 2015. Recently, the Pentagon confirmed to the Washington Post that a smaller number of the Colombian mercenaries suspected in the July 7 assassination had received U.S. training, though the department did not say how many or when nor what type of training was provided. According to the official who spoke to The Intercept, examples of the types of training received were various types of military leadership and professional development training, emergency medical training, helicopter maintenance, and attendance at seminars on counter-narcotics and counterterrorism. From 2000, when the United States first launched a massive multi-billion-dollar war aid program known as Plan Colombia to 2018, the U.S. administered more than 107,640 trainings of Colombian security personnel, noted Adam Isaskun, director of the Defense Oversight Program at the Washington Office on Latin America, a figure that far surpasses any other military collaboration the U.S. maintains in the region. Nothing comes close to 107,000 over the last 20 years, Isaskun told The Intercept. Nothing, he added. 18 former Colombian soldiers are currently being held in Haiti in connection with Moa's assassination, including some who previously served in elite Colombian Special Operations Unit. New details on their involvement in the assassination continue to break by the day. Recently, the Colombian news magazine Semana reported that one of the former troops confessed that the mercenary team was responsible for the assassination and that the killing was orchestrated by an inner circle of 7 mercenaries within the larger group. The magazine reported that investigators had also recovered surveillance footage of the attack. Family members of many of the detained Colombians have said that their loved ones believed they were being hired to provide personal security for a VIP in Haiti and that they did not sign on to participate in an assassination. Speaking to reporters recently, Colombian President Iván Duque said that regardless of individual levels of insight into the operation's true intent, all would be held responsible for Moa's killing. To Isaskun, little about the kind of training the alleged assassins experienced with the U.S. military stood out as particularly unique given the long-standing relationship between the U.S. and Colombia. In any random sample of some 2 dozen mid-level Colombian military veterans, it is more likely than not that some amount of U.S. training would turn up. They're not training every recruit or every private, but they are training a lot of people at that level, Isaskun said. So it's very likely they would have received us training just through sheer statistical probability, unquote. Still, Isaskun argued, the fact that the mercenaries' training was not unusual does not mean there is not reason for concern. I worry about the United States being associated with or even increasing the lethal skills of military and police units around the region that are either abusive or corrupt or undemocratic. And of course, that's always been a huge risk in Colombia, given its human rights record. So it does require a lot of scrutiny to make sure that we are not associating ourselves with or improving the lethal skills of people who end up doing what we just saw in Haiti, but also people who end up doing what we just saw in Bogota and Cali since late April, he said, referring to recent and violent crackdowns by Colombian security forces on protesters. We don't want to be associated with Americans.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagin.
Inshallah, Allah make this Eid a day of barakah in all the ways possible that he is aware of. One of the ones that we especially ask for based on our limited understanding and our deficiencies and shortcomings is the removal of this, the difficulties of the pandemic that have truly caused many difficulties, the virus itself and the effects that it has had on those who've been affected by it directly, those who've had COVID-19, is one thing, but the economic effects, the financial difficulties that people are going through, besides what they speak of in terms of economy, which hear different things about people, average people that are suffering financially. They've lost their jobs. The difficulties of our arrangements in terms of gatherings, just seeing each other, seeing believers, families sometimes not being able to see each other as they would otherwise. All these difficulties that have come, it's a difficulty, it's a hardship that we see, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of this day that He has witnessed the submission and the servitude, the ibadah of some of the greatest servants and ibad of all times, whether it's the great grandfather of the Prophet, Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Ismail, or the sacrifices of Imam al-Hussein that are connected to this, and the sacrifices of the Prophet himself, which in so many different ways are connected by the rites of this day and all these great ibad of Allah, we ask him to relieve that. There's a lot that's going on in the world. Usually on Eid days, there should be a... we should have a reminder, a personal reminder, for us to get stronger in terms of our connection with Allah and making sure that we continue treading the path towards Allah and not being distracted by the glamour of the dunya. It's funny, I was thinking when I was watching a game, how if someone within a game, a video game of whatever sort, there's a certain objective that has been made for by the designers of that game. If you're playing that game, then everyone moves along with the goals and objectives of the game. There's certain ways you obtain them. There's certain goals that have been identified by the makers of that game. When you're playing that game, you're going to go by that. However way you get your bonus points, you get extra points, or you get points in general, and you get and accomplish those goals that are there. If somebody plays that game that someone else has made, and then they find a mountain in that game to be so attractive, they just go and they want to stick their plane or whatever it is that their game has, just go around that place because they enjoy that little scenery there. It's found to be absurd. Everybody can understand. That's not the purpose. If you like to see a mountain, then go get nice photos of and find nice photos of mountains. You're being distracted from the objective of the game. And, of course, I have never seen anyone do that in a game. We seem to have trouble understanding that the system that we are in has been designed by someone. And it's moving along. إِلَيْهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورِ Everything is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are returning. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Not sayarji'un. Not that we will go back to Him. We are currently on that obstacle course moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain objectives that have been defined for your progress in the system by the designer. And there are certain ways to accomplish that. You can't go other routes to accomplish that. It's not like hackers in games that you can actually change that. Someone can outsmart the programmer or programmers that made the game and try to do shortcuts. It doesn't work that like that in this system. That's a big difference. God has designed this. And if you want to go and get to those goals, which is the whole objective and purpose of this setup, you got to go through that path. There's no other way. This is a reality that we are living, brothers and sisters, and we need to be reminded. Don't be distracted by some scene in the game. It's a game. That's why it struck me, because the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا مَتَعُ الْغُرُورِ or إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَاهَوٌ. It's a game. You're in a game. You're being distracted by some of the scenery in the game. Whatever it may be, whether it's the car or the money, the fame, the whatever it is that's causing us to get focused on that other than the goal, whatever it is, other than the goal of this system, why we are put in it. It's all a distraction. We're missing out. We're gonna realize that, God forbid, if we don't open our eyes, they will open our eyes the moment we close these physical eyes permanently. When these eyes are closed and we can no longer see, people think we can't see, but the actual eyes of our soul have been opened up. Now, فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ Your eyes can now see very clearly. If you had to wear spectacles to see, now you need no spectacles. It's crystal clear. No glasses, no lenses, no nothing. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ Today, your eyes, you're resurrected, the verse refers to, but other verses also clarify, at the moment of death, becomes clear. If we don't clear it up for ourselves, this is a reality. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. These reminders keep us on the right tracks so that we can get to those goals. Whatever we get distracted by in this material realm is not worth it. If you want marḍātillāh, Allah to be pleased with you, Allah will give you radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. God will be pleased with you and you will be pleased with Allah. He will give you so much that you're ashamed of how much He's given, and you realize that none of this is because of what I did, and it's out of His greatness. That's the pure joy and the bliss that's given. It's beyond imagination. And to give that up for something ridiculous that is going to an accident can cause it to get damaged or entirely totaled. The car can get totaled, and what are you going to do with that? Being attached to this thing, or even a person, whoever it may be. None of it is worth it. Inshallah, Allah opens our eyes and we realize that, and we move towards Him and we feel the blessings of that. We feel the blessings that Ibrahim felt when he made that sacrifice. The blessings that Imam al-Hussein felt when he was giving or making that sacrifice. The apparent side of things is a very difficult picture for us and we can't imagine it. But the aspect of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeing it from that perspective is the glowing of the face of Imam al-Hussein getting closer to the moments of Shahada. We can't imagine that. This is amazing. It just can't be described. Materially, it can't be seen. That's why we don't see it. But it's there.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Brioni Worthington, founder and board member of the new not-for-profit Climate Action Group, said, "By sharing and channeling data, we can maximize our efforts to combat carbon emissions and global warming. In other words, data is going to be the new water." We'll prepare for you an article written by Robin McKee. The piece is titled, "How Data Could Save Earth from Climate Change." SUBEC may seem an odd choice for a new organization that aims to accelerate high-tech efforts to combat climate crisis. The name is Indonesian, it transpires, and refers to an ancient agricultural system that allows farmers to coordinate their efforts when irrigating and growing crops. Brioni Worthington, founder and board member of the new not-for-profit Climate Action Group, said, "SUBEC allows farmers to carefully synchronize their use of water and so maximize rice production." She added, "And that is exactly what we're going to do with data. By sharing and channeling data, we can maximize our efforts to combat carbon emissions and global warming. In other words, data is going to be the new water." SUBEC will be officially launched in the coming days and will select and fund non-profit groups working around the world to combat the climate crisis. Early startups already helped by SUBEC include one group that is assisting UK local authorities to boost electric car use, while another group is using accurate weather forecasts to make best use of solar power across Britain and limit fossil fuel burning to generate electricity. These efforts are being launched after a week of headlines that have highlighted how perilous life on Earth is becoming as global heating grips the planet. Floods in Germany and Belgium left more than 150 people dead. Scientists revealed that the Brazilian rainforest now emits more carbon dioxide than it absorbs. And wildfires devastated vast tracts of Californian forests. In each case, scientists warned that rising temperatures triggered by increasing levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are likely to have played a key role in bringing about these catastrophes. Brioni Worthington, a noted climate activist and lead author of the team which drafted the UK's 2008 Climate Change Act, legislation that required the UK to reduce its carbon emissions by at least 80% of their 1990 levels, says urgent action is clearly needed. At the time, Worthington was working with Friends of the Earth, but was seconded to government to help design the legislation. For her efforts, she was made a peer in 2010. Since then, Brioni Worthington has continued in the battle against the climate crisis, and in 2019 she read Harvard academic Shoshana Zuboff's book The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, which focuses, disapprovingly, on high-tech companies' growing use of personal data to make money. Brioni Worthington says, "It woke me up to the fact that a whole new world of digital tools was being deployed to generate profits." She added, "I realized it would be better if those tools could be used to save the planet, to protect the global commons, and not merely to boost share value." Worthington contacted G. Fernando, a technology entrepreneur, and the pair hatched the idea of SUBEC, which has since been given funding by the Quadrature Climate Foundation, QCF, that was recently set up by the London investment management company Quadrature Capital. Its aim is to provide initial funding to help groups establish themselves, but also to give expert guidance over legal management and other issues. DiFernando says, when you start up a company or group, you are quite alone, adding, so if you have a community around you that can offer help, human resources, finance, tools, that is incredibly helpful. And then, once the group gets on their feet, they can then start to help other startup entrepreneurs wanting to open new avenues in order to help fight climate change. Fernando's words are echoed by several of the groups that SUBAC has already helped to set up, such as Open Climate Fix. This aimed to reduce carbon emissions by improving weather forecasts to make the best use of solar power plants, whose effectiveness is reduced when the weather is cloudy. Open Climate Fix's co-founder Jack Kelly said, if we get very good data about forthcoming cloud cover, we will know exactly how much solar-generated electricity can be provided in the United Kingdom on a given day. Adding, that will mean we will not need to generate unnecessary electricity from other sources, in particular fossil fuel sources, such as gas, because we have underestimated the solar power we will get that day. That will help to reduce carbon emissions. Jack Kelly added, SUBAC's provision of engineers and software experts who have turned weather satellite images into cloud cover forecasts was a critical piece of assistance. A similar tale is told by Richard Allen of New Automotive, which is monitoring new electric cars are being taken up in communities across the United Kingdom. Factors include vehicle use, sales patterns and favorite types of cars and trucks. That data can be fed to local authorities to ensure charging stations, battery replacement services, and other resources are provided to maximize take-up of electric cars. Richard Allen says, replacing petrol and diesel vehicles with electric versions as quickly as possible is going to be extremely important in reducing carbon emissions. He adds, and data about take-up rates in communities will be vital in achieving that goal. This view is endorsed by Brioni Worthington. She says, just a major corporation has lots of different companies under its control. SUBAC is going to help set up lots of new outfits, each aimed at boosting efforts to control climate change. Climate crisis in numbers, 415. The number of parts per million of carbon dioxide that make up the atmosphere. Before the Industrial Revolution in the mid-1700s, the global average amount of carbon dioxide was about 280 parts per million. Burning fossil fuels has since added a further 135 parts per million, and if global energy demand continues to grow and is met mostly with fossil fuels, that figure could exceed 900 parts per million by 2100. 3.6 millimeter. The estimated increase each year in sea level, according to measurements of tide gauges and satellite data. This is a result of human-induced warming of the planet. It is projected that the sea level will rise a further 40 to 80 centimeters by 2100, although future ice sheets melt could make these values considerably higher. 43.1 billion. In 2019, that was the number of tons of carbon dioxide from human activities that were emitted into the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas that absorbs heat and releases it gradually over time, like bricks in a fireplace after the fire goes out. Current increases in greenhouse gases has tipped the Earth's energy budget out of balance, trapping additional heat and raising Earth's average temperature. 28 trillion, the estimated number of tons of ice that our planet has lost between 1994 and 2017. Global warming has a particularly severe impact at higher latitudes, and this has been most noticeable in the Arctic region. Scientists worry that as ice melts, less solar radiation will be reflected back into space, and temperatures will rise even faster. Ice loss will become increasingly severe as a result.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
June 28, 2021, on the occasion of the National Judiciary Week and the martyrdom anniversary of Ayatollah Martyr Beheshti and other personalities. Some people focus too much on pointless matters and make wrong analysis. Thankfully, the election was held, and I hope it will be a blessed one in the end. During the election, certain things were witnessed that one should keep as experience and that one should learn from. Later on, the Iranian nation should draw on these lessons. Potential candidates' belief in solutions for the problems of the country. Well, a variety of opinions and tastes were seen in the televised debates. But all those honorable candidates agreed unanimously that the country's economic problems have a solution. This is the exact opposite of what the enemy wants to say, that there is no solution. Everyone agreed that there is a solution, but each candidate believed that their own solution was right. However, all of them denied the existence of a dead end. This is a very important matter. Presidential candidates behave in a moral and ethical manner. Of course, during these debates, some people spoke in defense of the positions of the revolution with the necessary politeness and religious manners. Some also showed some instances of bad behavior, which is unfortunate because we should not witness such behavior. We should not follow the lead of the United States in politics and in elections. We should not learn from Trump and Biden, who insulted each other in their debates. These are not good examples and they should not be looked at. America's disastrous elections. In the eyes of the whole world, the election held by the enemies of Iran, the United States, was a scandalous election. They really did an awful job. Now the same scoundrels are criticizing our election. An American element commented on the Iranian election. Despite the scandal on their own plates, they have found their tongues after several months and speak against our elections. However, with the scandal that they crafted, they should not say a single word about any elections.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.